Hey, everyone.
Welcome to Girl Meets Girl, the podcast. This is Toast.
And this is Sienna, and you are listening to a podcast about choosing happily ever after. Please visit us on our website at girlmeetsgirl.net.
This is episode number 106, and it is all about celebrating an alternative Thanksgiving.
This is alternative?
This is the LGBT version. We have another version next week that's about alternative Thanksgiving, but that's going to be about the First Nations.
Ooh, so a little bit of history.
Yeah. All the things to be grateful for. That's what we're talking about.
So it's a geek Thanksgiving.
It's an alternative Thanksgiving.
A turkey-free Thanksgiving.
Yes. So this episode, we're talking about alternative things to be thankful for and alternative ways to celebrate Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. We're also continuing our Michael Jackson lanyard contest from last week.
So if you didn't hear our last episode, episode number 105 about the Michael Jackson movie, this is it. We started a contest where all you got to do to enter is enter a comment on our girlmeetsgirlpodcast.com site. That's where the show notes are kept. And go ahead and write a comment about, you know, your Michael Jackson favorite song, anything.
Under episode 105.
Yes, not 106. Be a little organized. Let's keep it all in 105, people. Keep it all in 105. And you will automatically be entered to win the lanyard that we received from seeing the movie, which not everyone got, so.
Okay, so on with this show. Things to be thankful for. Alternative things. Okay.
Well, so, wait. I'm thankful for. Why don't you say what you're thankful for? Just off the top of your head.
Off the top of my head?
Yeah.
I'm thankful for our jobs.
Mm-hmm. Day jobs that bring you money while you do your art.
Yes. I'm thankful for you.
Thank you. Sienna. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you.
I'm thankful for our health.
Yes, I'm so thankful for our health.
Remember that other year when we had a podcast episode about how to be healthy in the holidays and then we got so sick?
Did we?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I don't remember that.
But that's when we got so sick, that's what helped us to take another check on what we can do to improve our health.
That's true. Just be more conscious about it. It's always a learning. Yeah, it's always a learning thing. Well, I'm grateful for our house. I'm grateful for our car that works so well. Remember our other car that just kept breaking down?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I'm grateful for Kumin the cat's health and Tico the cat's health and Chocolate the fish's health. That fish, people, is still alive.
What's up, man? I didn't know goldfish lived so long.
He is still alive. And I'm grateful that we have this podcast.
Yes.
And for all the people that continue to listen. Very grateful for that. Okay. Thank you. You may continue.
So we thought that since this is a podcast called Girl Meets Girl, which is a little, you know, on the fringe there.
It's very gay.
Yeah. We wanted to have a little spin on what we're grateful for. Because usually the mainstream stuff of what we're grateful for is all like, oh, family. And this nation, right? Nation of freedom and all that stuff, right? But we thought, well, you know, let's look back in history and all the cool things in history that there are that have happened to have come through people who would be considered lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgendered. Because
that paved the way.
Yeah, a lot of these people, although their names are very familiar, people don't realize that they could, if they were living today, a lot of them, and some of them still are, but they would be considered
gay.
They'd be considered LGBT.
Yeah,
basically. I mean, first we have to understand that the term homosexual and our concept of homosexuality and being gay is a very modern concept. And you'll know what we mean pretty soon when we start going down this list. but this, we picked out a few figures from history who have contributed to humanity and to civilization and to the arts and all kinds of good stuff. And this list was assembled by a Dr. Mark Pope, who is with the University of Missouri at St. Louis, of all places. Right there in Missouri. Is a list of famous lesbian women, gay men, and bisexual people. Okay. And I'm just going to read straight from this intro paragraph because I think it's worth prefacing it here. It says, documentary evidence. Did I pronounce that correctly?
I don't think so.
I do that. I put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. Documentary evidence of any person's sexual activity is rare, regardless of the person's sexual orientation. In the case of lesbians and gay men, relevant diaries, letters, and photographs are often deliberately destroyed. Evidence is particularly hard to come by if, during the person's lifetime, there were or are legal, physical, or social penalties for identifying oneself as a non-heterosexual person. An additional complication is that many men-loving men and women-loving women lived before contemporary terms for sexual orientations and practices were invented. Others lived in societies where sexual activity deviating from the majority's was not of interest. See, people didn't always even really give a damn. Okay. deviating from the majority's was not of interest and went unrecorded for that reason. In some cases, scholars must simply weigh the available evidence and make an educated guess. Guess. The same sex or bisexual orientation or behavior of these famous or distinguished people whose names appear on this list either has been clearly documented or is consistent with strong circumstantial evidence.
Okay.
So this has been this list that we're picking from has been researched by a doctor, a PhD. So let's start it.
Go ahead.
Okay, so the first one, you know the term lesbian comes from the name of a Greek island called Lesbos. And why? It's because of this person right here who lived 600 years before Christ, Sappho, the Greek poet. Probably a lot of you guys knew about her. There's a whole meter if poetry that is named after her, Sapphic, the Sapphic meter. So, Sappho. How about the person who wrote that? There's a famous essay called "A Room of One's Own," in favor of women's rights and empowering women. You probably heard that term, right? A room of one's own.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Person who wrote that is Virginia Woolf. Yep. LGBT baby. Totally talented novelist and essayist. What about this one? I was actually surprised to learn about this next one.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys heard of Paradise Lost? Mm-hmm. It's considered the greatest epic poem in the English language.
Did you have to read that?
Yes.
Me too.
I don't think I had to read the whole thing. But incredible.
I don't remember it. But
so, right? And this poem, Paradise Lost, is such an important work, a literary work to Christians, because it's talking about, it's talking about the fall of Satan, right? So Satan and then the fall of man. So the author's name is John Milton, British author, LGBT baby.
That is so interesting.
Isn't that shocking? Yeah.
Yes.
It made me look it up. I was like, really? Because they didn't teach you that in high school, right? And so everybody is assumed to be heterosexual. How about some others?
Okay, well, this person wrote Little Mermaid, Ugly Duckling, The Red Shoes, and many others, but those might be the more popular ones.
It's like all of Walt Disney's material came from this person.
yes. This person is Danish. Any guess? Actually, you see his name.
Yeah.
Because the name is so familiar.
When the name came up, I was like, hey, okay, I totally know that person. But what did they do now?
Right. Yeah. That's how I felt too. So this is Hans Christian Andersen from the 1800s.
Incredible. The Little Mermaid.
And I was surprised, The Little Mermaid. I'm like, really? The Little Mermaid?
I remember when that movie came out and mm-hmm. it was like going around that, well, yeah, you know, Disney changed the ending because it, you know, they modified it.
Is that true? Now, what was the ending that was written?
I never even read the original, I don't think. But there you go. It originally came from an LGBT guy.
Well, The Little Mermaid, I can see that happening.
Right? That's how it goes, right? Right? Something like that? Come on.
The Little Mermaid is so gay when you really think about it, right?
Yeah,
like,
well,
a man writing Little Mermaid is gay, right?
Yeah.
Little Mermaid. Not to say anything bad about gays.
Yeah. Come on. Sing it. Sienna knows this song. Sienna knows a Little Mermaid song.
I have too much pressure.
Look at this stuff. What is it? Like that?
Okay.
Ah.
Your face.
You have to raise the eyebrows.
Oh.
How does it start?
What, and then you'll sing it?
Yeah. I don't know the words, though. Shoot. All I know is, under the sea. That's all I know.
That was good. That's Sebastian the crab.
Yeah, the crab.
Okay, let's move on.
Aww.
And someone else we're so grateful for is the author of Leaves of Grass.
And I've heard that that poem is like, or maybe it's him as a writer, like the most influential, the most important a piece of writing or poem by an American writer, Walt Whitman. But he was pretty famous for being gay, though.
You know, and they
or bi, whatever
they
he was.
Quote him a lot in all the New Thought type religions, too.
Yes. Yes. He was part of that whole movement right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also some others, Oscar Wilde.
Tennessee Williams.
Tennessee Williams wrote Glass Menagerie, Streetcar Named Desire, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. Those are all popular.
I know, incredibly.
Yeah.
Incredibly. I mean, just a part of mainstream American culture mm-hmm. and by extension around the world. But of course, you don't hear too much about like, well, he was.
Also Willa Cather. Who wrote My Antonia?
Rock Hudson. He's pretty mm-hmm. famous.
He was on the Flintstones.
He was? Oh, that's right. That's
I think
right.
So. Yeah, yeah, Rock I think so. Hudson. He probably liked, Barney?
Oh, my gosh.
I don't think Fred. Fred's too butch for him, I think.
Yeah.
Barney's a little softer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He's more like a cutie guy.
Yeah. Rita Mae Brown. A lot of the gay people know her.
Yes. Ian McKellen.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're getting into the, like, actors.
In a lot of movies. Nathan Lane. I mean, there's so many. Mm-hmm. Cynthia Nixon.
Who I have to admit, I was thrilled when she came out. I was like, whoa!
Me too. But I would have been more thrilled if it was Kristen Davis, you know? Like, that would have been like, yay.
And for those of you who don't know, these are, like, actresses from Sex and the City.
Yes. But we're happy to have Cynthia Nixon.
Oh, yeah.
Because she is with a strong dyke.
Right.
Like stereotypical dyke.
An undeniably dykey dyke.
Yes. And I love that. You know, not glammed up for Hollywood.
Right.
I mean, glammed up. And yeah, I mean, it's not like she's all rough, but she's very masculine.
Yeah.
And I love that. That's how
right.
it is.
It doesn't have to be two like hot chicks going at it.
Exactly.
And being all
Give
for
me
the
a break.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Doogie Howser. Right.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Who thought little Doogie.
Who played Doogie Howser?
I would have thought. Doogie.
Oh, and I love that Anderson Cooper is gay.
Because he's such a cutie pie.
Yeah, and he's so
such
like
a cutie pie, and he's smart.
Good.
And he's well dressed.
Yes.
And he's polite. And he's funny.
Exactly.
You know, I love that.
Right.
Bessie Smith.
Oh my God.
Blues singer.
Empress of the blues.
Mm-hmm. So many. There's so many people.
Okay, now this one, this guy is kind of famous too for being like, mm-hmm. But did you know actually about him?
Familiar.
Kind of, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Okay, so yes. This next guy basically inspired leaders and generals and politicians and businessmen and strategists of all kinds for thousands of years. Definitely one of the greatest generals of all time and one of the most powerful personalities from antiquity, Alexander the Great would today be considered
a gay man.
LGBT.
A gay man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or at least bi.
Or bi. A bi man. Yeah. We'll say bi. Let's not. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, okay. So, and also from that, you know, time, this one kind of freaked me out. I was like, really? Because he's less famous for LGBT behavior.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he's just as famous, period. If you've heard of the Julian calendar, if you've heard of the month July,
I think many of them have.
Yeah.
Yes.
July. Julius Caesar. What? Right? What?
Well, yeah. Well, I think he's the Butch, you know? Butch style, right?
Man. But as far as like things to be thankful for and is from history and stuff, it was him that initiated reforming the calendar and the method of keeping time and the year. And after the Julian calendar was created, whatever, I think before they were using what, some kind of Egyptian way of keeping time or something. But anyways, I don't know. I'm not into the history of calendars. But I did do research and found out that our method of keeping time now, called the Gregorian year, is just a really slight modification of this Julian calendar.
Mm.
So basically, the way that we keep track of time and our years is because of this bisexual guy.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Right? Or whoever. Interesting. Yeah.
And then also, Basil II, a Byzantium emperor. Basil, an herb, was named after him.
I didn't know that.
For really? His culinary skills in that time period.
Really?
I'm still making that up.
Man.
Do you say basil or basil?
Hell if I know.
I'm sorry. There's no place for jokes in that way, huh?
I don't know.
He created pesto. No. Okay. Sorry. Okay, now this is what is fascinating. Now we're just randomly picking from a list, okay,
right.
that was collected by that
whatever's.
But what's so fascinating is that there are several Japanese shogun
types.
Shoguns. And to me that was so interesting. But to Toast it wasn't so interesting because you knew a little bit of the shogun history, right?
Yeah, I'd heard about this or I read about this a little bit.
Why don't you tell them about that? Because I think that's interesting.
Well, from what little I've read, because I don't think there's much material on this, really, because it just wasn't a big deal to them.
Mm-hmm.
But similar to the Romans, where they would often have men who had younger male companions and they had relations, you know, and it was a what would today be called a homosexual relationship, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Although it doesn't fit exactly what we think of because from my understanding anyways, in the Roman times it was almost like a mentor kind of relationship. I read that they had a similar arrangement and similar customs in Japan during the ancient.
That's so interesting to me.
Feudal times anyways.
That's so interesting to me.
And that it was considered manly.
That's the thing. I'm like, wow, really?
Yeah. I mean, you're so manly that you're just keeping company with men. That's how manly you are.
And having sex with them.
Yep.
Because it's so manly. It's so manly to do that.
I guess. I mean, I guess so. That's basically
interesting.
It.
Interesting. I didn't know that about the culture.
And that's how you learn to be a man.
Really? What? Really?
I don't know. Maybe I'm making it up like Basil.
Really, though?
Yeah. That's my understanding of it. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, maybe they're showing them how to use it. So that... No, you know. No, I mean, serious.
Woo, baby.
Right? So, like, how to use it so that you know what to do with it when the time comes for family. I don't know.
Oh, jeez.
Anyways, I think that was the most shocking thing about this list when I saw those shogun.
Yeah. Names Ashikaga there. Yoshimitsu, Japan, shogun. Tokugawa Ieyasu, Japan, shogun. Oh, yeah. And there's a lot more, too. Oda Nobunaga, Japan, military dictator.
Oh, so interesting. Wow. Yeah.
Okay, so also on this list, Richard the Lionhearted. Oh, yes.
And Jane Addams.
Peter the Great. Jane Addams. I was like, who's that?
Yay.
You know of her?
She created social work as a profession.
In the United States. Mm-hmm. She won the Nobel Peace Prize in 19...
Yay, Jane. Go, Jane.
1931. Founded one of the first community centers in Chicago in 1889. Jane Addams. Did you learn about her because you studied mm-hmm. social work?
Yeah.
Okay. See, I had never heard of her before. I didn't study social work. More on the list. Humanity should be grateful for Socrates, I would
Sophocles.
Think. Sophocles. And humanity should be grateful for Aristotle. Yes.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. it's a good thing that I guess they didn't, you know, kill LGBT people in those days. Because then we wouldn't have Socrates or Aristotle. Also, Sir Francis Bacon. Leonardo da Vinci.
Botticelli. So famous for painting all those voluptuous women standing in the seashells. That's interesting.
Michelangelo.
Huh? Michelangelo.
All these Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those turtles are gay.
They are so gay. And we mean that in the most loving way.
Yeah. It's okay. A good thing.
Sir Isaac Newton.
Florence Nightingale.
Come
Hello.
On. See. Hello. Hello. Jeez. Huh?
George Washington Carver. And even Florence Nightingale and Isaac Newton. I was like, what? Really?
They're but hey, for the you team. Know, they're good
I mean,
for the
we'll
team.
Put up, we'll put, we're going to put up a link to this website because it's like, wow, this was researched. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Margaret Mead, anthropologist, studies of culture and human sexuality.
Mm-hmm. And then sports, we don't really need to go over because that's, if you're a woman in sports... pretty much gay. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Oh
Don't write
gosh.
To us about that.
This one is pretty cool. Esara Tuaolo. Mm-hmm. He's from Hawaii. And notable because he was, you know, he wasn't like a swimmer or a gymnast. He was in the NFL.
Yeah.
He was a defensive lineman. So, and he came out. Good for him.
Good for him.
Yeah. Good for the team. So there you go. That's the list. Or excerpts from the list.
Excerpts from the list.
And okay. So that's what we have to be thankful for.
Yeah.
Come on. Really. I mean, that's an impressive list.
Mm-hmm. Look at all these talented LGBT folks.
Yeah. Incredible. Yeah. Right? Incredible. Yeah.
So if you are LGBT and you listen to this podcast, count yourselves among them.
Hold your head up high.
Yes, be proud. Do your art, whatever your art is. And you are in great company with all of these amazing people that came before us. So now for a song that we'd like to feature. This song is called...
Courage of Our Convictions from the album Change Your Mind by Julie Clark. And this song is a winner of the National Equality March Song Contest.
Oh, my dear brothers and sisters too, working to make a change long overdue.
Well,
we're gonna fight for freedom. Yeah, we're gonna fight for love. We're gonna fight 'cause nothing less than equals good enough. It's gonna take our time. It's gonna take commitment. It's gonna take the courage of our convictions. Gonna need our families, gonna need our friends, gonna need a much higher power that transcends.
Oh, Lord.
Before it's over, yeah, before it's done, before our equal rights have all been won. It's gonna take our time. Gotta show 'em kindness. We gotta show 'em love. We gotta show 'em there's nothing here to be scared of.
No, no, no.
Our civil rights can't be denied. 'Cause we got God and justice on our side.
Amen.
It's gonna take our time.
That was good. Julie Clark.
Yes, you can visit Julie Clark's website at julieclark.net. And the CD is actually a wonderful piece of work. There's all different types of songs on it. So it has a whole bunch of different feels, and I think there would be something for everyone. One of the songs that I particularly enjoy is called If It Weren't For That. And there are a lot, I mean, all of these songs, her writing is, her
good
way with
songwriting.
Words, yes,
yeah.
Her way with words is very real, and I appreciate that, and how she can fit these words into beautiful melodies and song arrangements is pretty incredible. So check out Julie Clark on her website.
Okay. All right, and we want to end this episode with just a few alternative ways to celebrate Thanksgiving. So here we go. Of course,
okay.
You're going to know.
Consider going turkey-free. Consider it. Just consider it. Okay.
And if you want to experience a really nice vegetarian meal that is like, has that Americana feeling, home-cooked,
mm-hmm.
If there's a Whole Foods near you, check it out, because they usually will have vegetarian Thanksgiving meals that are ready-made that you can pre-order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yep. Just a thought.
You can do that.
And check it
you
out.
Can also look up in your Yellow Pages or online for your nearest vegan or vegetarian restaurant. A lot of times they will also partake of the traditional Thanksgiving type of dinner. And you can go there and have a wonderful turkey-free option.
And be thankful.
And be grateful that you saved a turkey's life. A turkey. You let a turkey live.
And you didn't get any hormones in your body.
Yes.
Or an artificially corn-fed people.
And I know we've said stuff about tofu and all of that, but, you know, if you're eating it in moderation, this is a nice time to try a tofurkey. Look to our past episodes for some tofurkey making tips. But honestly, you can just look at the box and it tells you exactly what to do.
You don't need us. Just look at the box.
Yeah, just look at the box because yeah. It really is. The recipe on it is actually really yummy. So be brave. Try it out. Open your mind because it's not going to look like a turkey. It's just a ball of tofurkey instead. It looks more like a football. So just, you know. Take it in a step.
Remember, alternative.
Alternative.
This is alternative.
And you want to be cool? Be turkey free.
Alternative ways to celebrate Thanksgiving. Just some thoughts. Maybe you can put out some food or a bird bath for the birds and mm-hmm. other backyard wildlife. Mm-hmm. You know, share your bounty with them too.
With nature, yeah. And all the wonderful animals that come by to bless your home with their chirping, with their fluttering butterfly wings and all of that wonderful, beautiful stuff.
Also, you can just say a short prayer of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Meditate in gratitude in this Thanksgiving weeks.
Start a new ritual and maybe be very conscious of what you are grateful for that day. And try and do that every night. Leading up to Thanksgiving, if you fall asleep when you meditate, you can maybe write it down in your journal and start a gratitude journal.
And this last thought, we really try to practice this of being aware and conscious of what feeds and nourishes your spirit, what you get inspiration from,
mm-hmm.
and to give back and contribute to that in some way.
Yes. Whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And traditionally, I think that would be like a tithe, mm-hmm. right? Because you're contributing back to the house of worship
mm-hmm.
that supposedly you get inspiration and support and you feel nourished by. But nowadays, in our times, less and less people are going to church.
Yeah.
I think. So wherever you do find inspiration from, if it's from nature, maybe you can contribute to a nature preserve,
mm-hmm. right.
for instance.
Right. Toast and I, where we receive our inspiration varies oftentimes, but we have about two or three places that we give, we support every month. And sometimes we throw in an extra fourth depending on what's going on for us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we also donate our music for certain places too. If it's something we believe in and feel inspired by, we will also do that. So find a way to give back to places that inspire you and that makes you feel, you know, good and keeps you going.
And it feels good to be able to do that.
It feels so good to do that. You can also choose to help someone in need. That also feels really good, you know. You can also bake cookies for your local shelter, do something like that, or volunteer your time. So there's so many things to do, and there's so many things to be grateful for. So this is a nice start.
So thanks for listening to this episode.
And we're grateful for you.
Yes, we are. Of our alternative Thanksgiving series. Next week, we're going to talk about alternative Thanksgiving regarding the First Nations, the First Americans, and the contributions that we received from them. And also our thoughts and tips about how to deal with the Thanksgiving meal itself, because we know getting into the holidays,
yeah,
people are concerned about the waistline and all that stuff. So we have some encouraging words about that.
Yes, we certainly do.
Thank you for listening. Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.